This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host this week, joined this week by only Donnie. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. Tom's taking the time off. Tom's birthday, so with arrival a little one last week and his birthday, he took a well-deserved break. So we'll see if he's allowed to come back next week. Fingers crossed. So we will go to the league first, top three. So there's no change, top three is as was last week. Bear in mind, the game week hasn't finished yet, just so obviously there's still two games to play in this game, so we're talking about our rank and our points. There's still a couple of things that could change it up. But as it stands, because we're recording on Tuesday, Melvino's still third, 613. Donnie's still second, 623. And E6 Hammers is first, 629 points overall. So speaking of our points, I'm going to go through mine first. So currently sitting on 71 points, that is Roos and goals. Tavernier, 9 points. Taylor, 2. Vice-captain, Lacazette, 1. That was a bit of a punt. Jota, captain, 12 points. Ferguson, nothing. Scales, nothing. I've got people come off the bench for that. They'll require shortly. Boyle, 12. Kolak, 14. Majoski, 17. And Shanklin, 2. So I'm currently on a green arrow, 208 ranked. And I have at least 10 points coming off the bench. So, and with Spittle still to play, who's on the bench? And Lacazette still to play. If I've looked it up with the people above me, I think I'm going to break it to the top 200 regardless, as long as it could finish 9-9 tonight with these games or next week. And I think I'm breaking it to the top 10. So to me, not too bad since I started rank 3,000 8 game weeks ago. I've kind of closed it in quite well. So Lacazette was a point I did mention. I just went, I thought, bring him in, see what happens. If he gets one clean sheet tonight, then I suppose the points worked out. If not, then it doesn't matter. It's a lesson learned. So what are you on currently, Donnie, and what's your current rank with a couple of games to play?
Yep, so I'm sitting on 83 points at the moment. So my team looks at the moment Roos for 2, Captain Tav for 18, Iacobiti is 1 not out, Taylor for 2, Scales, who's obviously going to be a bench trick player on 0, and then my bench trick player on 0 again. And then we're looking at Boyle, 12, Jota, 6, Cholak, 14, Furuhashi, 12, Vice-Captain, and Miowski, 17. So that's the 83. I've only got 2 on the bench, so they'll both be coming off. One is Henderson, which is 1 point, and the other one is Solholm, who is 2 not out. So not a huge amount coming off. Hopefully Motherwell can get a clean sheet. That would help. So my global score is 6-2-3. Provisionally, that puts me up 8 places to 4th. However, I think there's a lot of heavy benches. If I can stay in the top 10, that would be great. I have had a look around and there is some good benches close to me. So we'll just see how that one pops after the next couple of games. But not made some good decisions during the week. So it's panned out and paid off.
Okay. Right. Listen, I'm not going to lie. I have not saw very much highlights of these games. It's my anniversary weekend, so I was otherwise imposed. So Donnie's going to do all the heavy lifting. I'm just going to go through results one at a time, and I'll add my thoughts to what Donnie says. So start with the first game of the kickoff, Hearts 0, Rangers 4. Donnie, thoughts?
Well, a game of the weekend, without a doubt. Obviously, my team, A really good performance. Tynecastle's not a good place to go for a lot of teams in the league, and certainly not us with the shaky form we had before international break. So team news, we had Ben Davis in at centre-back. I think we can maybe start to pen this one in as being permanent. He did get subbed at half-time, but he was on a booking, and obviously the game was quite comfortable. So Van Bronckhorst took him off. So hopefully that's a solid centre-back pairing with Goldson. Čolak starts again up front. So as I've said in previous pods, I think Morelos might get the nod in the European games. And Čolak for the league, and then they're getting equal amounts of rest. So well done if you've stuck with Čolak. We've certainly rewarded you in this week. Good opener from the Kent Cross for the first goal. I thought Rangers moved the ball around really well, created a lot of opportunities, which given our form prior to the international break wasn't the case. So obviously done well there. There was a guy playing for Hearts, Stephen Humphreys. Now I've never heard of him before. They've got him on loan from Wigan. He was quite impressive. In what was a pretty poor Hearts performance. So, he could be a differential going forward. Čolak again with the second. Nice finish from Mintando Pass. And then we had the game changer, Devlin, with a reckless challenge and rightly getting the red card. It looked pretty innocuous at the beginning, but when you see it again, he really goes on the guy's ankle and he was unlucky not to do damage to the Rangers player. So as soon as they went down to 10 men, that probably ended it. As a game for Hearts. We then had a strange refereeing decision. Gordon came out for a cross. He flapped at it. Arfield tucked the ball away. And then a foul was given on Gordon because he fell into the Rangers player. I think you'd see that overturned on VAR, but I think the referee was just being a bit sympathetic. Into the second half, we got the return of the knee slide. We Alfie getting back in amongst the goals. And it was Tav with the assist, which was good for the captaincy owners. Kent put the fourth away, and that's his first goal of 2022. So you can really see how out of form he has been for us. And hopefully that sort of gives him the motivation to sort of carry forward. So no doubt Jurgen Klopp's panicking now ahead of the performance tonight. Hearts, they're probably still the third best team in the league, but they've conceded 12 goals in their 8 games, so it's not a good look. I know a lot of folk have probably tried to be patient with Gordon and the Hearts defence, hoping that it would come good, but I've not had Hearts assets for some time now, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. I think we all predicted with Europe that they would struggle to, you know, battle on both fronts, and that seems to be the case. We've got St Mirren, Aberdeen and Hibs all stealing a march on Hearts at the moment. So for me, just stay away from them. They are concentrating on Europe, but they've got Fiorentina up next, which might be a difficult one. For Rangers, we've probably all got Tav and Čolak. I think you can keep a hold of them for the foreseeable future. Some good fixtures ahead. Barisic might be an option. Even Goldson, double up on defence. I was just saying before the recording, Lawrence is out injured again. He was back training, but he's got injured again. And Van Bronckhorst said he's not going to be back until after the World Cup. So for me, I've only got two Rangers assets. I might now look to bring in the third because I was kind of holding it off for there. But that was a very good game. As a Celtic fan, I'm sure you did watch it. but it was a good performance and good 3 points because it could have really come unstuck.
Yep, I took two hours of my anniversary to watch the famous. I always thought highlights it, the red card, I think popped up because I see people complaining, but what I'd realised, we weren't complaining about the red card, we were complaining about the result and parts of it a bit faithless when it comes to the big game. I think they all started a bit restless with Nielsen. I know you can look and go, well, he's got you in the year and that, but I think they rightly believe they should be evolving every year and they're a better team. Maybe it's a lot of the fans think it's just take move on, get somebody else who's maybe forward thinking, perhaps. Back to the fantasy aspect, you did come up, I was going to ask you there. Rangers, I've been kind of same boat as you. Čolak, Tavernier, I had Lawrence. Once Lawrence went out, I brought Boylan as kind of a placeholder for Lawrence, it was kind of meant to be. But then obviously Lawrence is long term. And when we discussed this most weeks, there's nobody listed out in the Rangers midfield to up front that was you want to bring in. But you're thinking maybe Barisic, he's had a bit of form, hasn't he? And he's kind of named that left back spot.
I think he's holding Yilmaz out just on performances alone. So for me, we've got St Mirren, Motherwell, Livingston. Also, we've got our European games in between there. They're all games that you could pretty much see clean sheets. He has had attacking returns as well down the wing. So it's not a bad shout. Price-wise, I'm not sure what Davies is. I'd have to go in and look at it. But that, if he is going to be the you know, second centre-back, then you will get value there. I would probably favour Goldson myself, but he's probably going to come at a higher price. But I think Rangers, you know, we did have a bad spell after the Old Firm match, but we seem to be back on track now and we seem to look a lot more solid. So you could go there. Kent would be too much of a risk because he's had one good game and his price, it's not worth it. You'd have to move a lot to get to him. So I think defensively, we've often gone double Rangers defence in the past, and I think there is value there. If you want to do that, wouldn't be against it.
Do you think Barisic plays all games? But
well, that's
six games with League Cup. I'm thinking, will he play all six?
He won't. He won't play the League Cup. Yilmaz will come in, and I guess St Mirren. Okay, so might want to keep for that.
He may be games.
The closer it gets to the World Cup, I guess he might want to protect him. But he's certainly there on form ahead of Yilmaz, so he'll just have to be patient.
Keep an eye on it. I like the idea of the Davies, if he's cheaper than Goldson in a defence.
Yeah.
That's one to keep an eye on going forward. With the Hearts issue, I agree with you. At 1.3 Hearts, I managed to get it down every week, and I've only got Shanklin now. And Shanklin's done actually not bad to me, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's scored quite well. So I got Atkinson out this week. I managed to get him on a price rise, I believe. 4 lakh of it went up, so that was a 0.2 saving. So I'm happy with that. I'll keep Shanklin for now. He is obviously a rotational risk. Maybe not the biggest fire this week. I may actually bench him this week and use a bench trick, see what happens. But he does score quite regularly. He's quite so. I'm not too fussed with Shanklin on my team. Quicker than the Europe finishes, and we'll get four games left. Isn't game week three?
Yeah.
So 4 more games left, and then a World Cup, and then I'll maybe take it for there. But I think by that time, most people will be activating their first World Card anyway.
Yeah.
Right, on to the next game, which is Smyrne 2, Livingston 1.
Yep, so submitting up to third in the league now, and they've got to be serious contenders for top six already at this stage of the season. The first half was end-to-end, but they didn't really create much chances in front of goal. We had Backus with the opener for St Mirren, and then a strange handball penalty was given. Ayunga did a sort of dive and save to stop the ball going in the net, so he's conceded the pen and he's got a red card. Luckily I transferred him out. I know a lot of people have stayed patient with him and would have got the minus points there. So Livingston had a penalty. Sean Kelly, who I've seen in a lot of teams, put it over the bar, so they weren't able to capitalise there. We then had fantasy forgotten man Bruce Anderson with the equaliser towards the end of the game from a Newbley cross, and then right at the end of the game we had Grieve with the late winner. So it was a good end-to-end game, and St Mirren just took the better of the chances as far as that's concerned. They do have Rangers up next, so I don't expect them to do that well in that game, but they do still offer value defensively. Backus could be a good alternative to Inga now that he's suspended. He's only 3.2 million. He got the 3 bonus points in the game as well. So if you're struggling for cash and you need to make a change there, that might be something that you want to do. Livingston do have winnable games. They've got Ross County, St Johnstone before they play Rangers, but I still don't see much value in that team. I mean, Considine seems to tick over okay every week, but not Considine. Devlin and Obelai and things like that, you probably still get value there. But I won't be rushing in to get any of those assets.
Okay, I didn't say any of that, but I do believe that's one of the results that helped me this week, because I believe it's like 2 late-minute goals probably wiped out a lot of people's clean sheets.
Yeah.
So maybe have them as a cheap defender for one of the teams. St Mirren do look good value. I didn't know off the start of the season, but Game of Unicorns have got them playing pretty well. We seem to be fighting for them. So I'm interested to see how they play next week. Is it Ibrox, Tony? Is it you at home?
Yes, we are at home.
I'm interested to see how they play, because they have... They're also building confidence. They look good. So see how they cause you problems after a European... Actually, in between 2 European games. So I'm interested in watching that. I'm not against having, as I think we mentioned this before, having any one of the defenders as a fifth choice bench trick players is quite reasonable. If you're probably sitting there and you've probably done quite well out of it the last few weeks up to this point, so continue on.
Yeah.
Next one up is Ross County 2, Hibs. Oh, sorry, I wish it was Ross County 0, Hibs 2.
Yep, so we all got aboard the Iacovite train for the double game week. It didn't really get anywhere. But as I said in the last recording, he still offers value. They've still got good fixtures, and obviously they have a chance tonight against Motherwell to maybe get some points there. Hibs, they probably were good value for the win. They are starting to come together as a team now, which is promising because they've got some good assets in there that you can capitalise on. Man of the week, Ryan Porteous, had a couple of good early strikes. He was playing a different level, had you watched the game, but he was unable to get the back of the net. He did find the back of the net in the second half, a scrappy opening goal, but he took it well. So between that and his clean sheet, two bonus points, you would have made a good haul out of him. Boyle, like he does most weeks, was rewarded for his efforts. He got the second to make it 2-0. As I say, Ross County, they've got Motherwell next tonight, and then Dundee United before they play Celtic. So, we'll hold on Iacovite and see how those games pan out. Hibs have got a double game week against Motherwell and Dundee United. And to me, they do look like a team that's worth investing in. So, we'll see how that one goes.
Yeah, Ross County's team is always not particularly interested. Iacovite was just in for the double game week. Can I see if it might work? Hibs, we mentioned last week that they kept on playing teams with 10 men, so they played 11 men this week, and they looked pretty decent. They do look like they have a structure. They do look like they're playing a certain kind of style under the new manager, which we quite like. Portis does look like he's the confidence of Scotland games kind of upped him, his level a bit, so he's one to watch going forward. He is quite attacking. He offers attacking threat as well. And Martin Boyle is starting to get to close to the Martin Boyle was when he left the league. So,
yeah.
Me and you are on him, Dory, so I'm quite happy with that. So, next game is Dundee United 1, St Johnstone 2.
Okay, so United are still winning this, despite the fact they've got a new manager. And it was Stevie May with the early goal. Good goal, terrible celebration. I don't know if you've seen it. He also got an assist for the second, which was Hallberg. And Watt, with only a second goal of the year, to make it 2-1. There wasn't much to talk about in this game. I thought it was quite poor. Kilmarnock and Celtic up next for St Johnstone, so we'll just have to see how that one pans out. United, they're still a disaster, and probably one to target. Liam Fox as the manager, it's a tough job ahead of him. They do have a good team, but it's the kind of appointment that come April, if you see he's been sacked, it wouldn't even come as a surprise. I don't know how they've come to that decision, but certainly not a good start for him and a good win for St Johnstone, but nothing fantasy-wise that you would want to get on.
No, my first thought was the three names you mentioned, the three scores, was like a wee bit of fantasy love there, so it might have been Zombie Team FC if they've still got them in their team and not touched them. They need to look a terrible, terrible team. The Liam Fox appointment strikes me just as an easy option for the team for some reason. But they must have put a lot of money in that squad in the summer. If they go down, that's going to be a hard one to swallow. You might think he's going to change it around, fair enough. They do look like they're lacking a defensive midfielder. I want to see how they do that in January, because that seems their team's quick to attacking, but nobody to break up play. St Johnstone have definitely turned the corner. I think we mentioned this last week. We wanted more data, but they've definitely turned the corner. So I wouldn't be surprised now. If a good fixture falls from, you can target some players. I know you and Tom target a player who ended up injured, Carey.
I was going to brush over that one.
It's one of these things. I'm not going to forget that one. Not a chance. Right, next up, Celtic 2, Motherwell 1.
Oh, I'm assuming you've watched this one.
I've only saw highlights.
Anniversary, I know, anniversary. Your team comes first. So Celtic still got difficulties at the back. It was Welsh and Jens again. Probably not the ideal centre-back pairing that you want to see. I think it showed. It wasn't a good performance in that respect. Kyogo with a thunderbolt finish from half a yard out. It was nice to see because I had him on my vice.
I stole it.
caught me some points for the Cholak. The guys are vice-captain Čolak, he got one back there, so that was fine. Juranović had a good chance to make it 2-0 with a free kick that came off the bar, but he did score minutes later with one of the best OGs you'll see in a long time. That was a good one. We then had Joe Hart decided to knock himself out by running into Solholm's elbow. However, he did make a miraculous recovery, so well done, Joe. I thought Itati had a good performance and topped off with a winner. One to watch for me. It might help you free up funds and still hold a place in the Celtic midfield. Celtic were unlucky to make it 3 in the later stages. They did have some good half chances. Furuhashi was unable to take them. Motherwell battled well, but they can't really complain. They were gifted the equaliser. Didn't really do much else to try and push on and win the game. However, they do have some tricky fixtures coming up. So if you've got your Solholms, Van Veens, you maybe want to come off of those and maybe look to Hibs. Celtic, as I say, they were fragile at the back. They're just going to have to ride that storm out until the centre-backs, you know, get fit again. For me, I've got Taylor, Jota and Kyogo, and I'm happy to hold on to them for the foreseeable future. So it's just one of those games. It's a scrappy performance, but you get there at the end and you've got the 3 points. So I'm sure they'll be happy with that.
Yep, I agree with your three picks. That seems to be the three you should be going for. On the centre-back pairings, yep, I wouldn't be recommending any people going for a Celtic clean sheet until at least Carter Vickers is back, because he seems to be the main glue. Mm-hmm. The rest can play with him and they play better, but when he's not a team, and it's especially Jens and Welsh, I don't expect much clean sheets. So especially with the attacking play as well, so they're always going to be open at the back. So if it's not Vickers playing at the back, I wouldn't be vice captain in any Celtic defence going forward. That's just my take on that. Motherwell, like you said, I don't know if that's the rose or the bloom now. They do still look like they could beat last week well off Hearts, but this week they could beat just off City, but they're scrappy, they go for it. So I'm on Spittle, he's the bench trick midfielder. So until someone else becomes available at that kind of price range, I like, I'll just use them right now, because yes, they do still fight. They can get the old goal here and there, but I wouldn't be rushing to bring him else in. Like you said, Van Veen picked up a yellow card again. He loves doing that. And the fixtures turn slightly, so maybe looking elsewhere. You see maybe Hibs, or if you're not one of the other three, of Majowski, Shankland, one of them.
Yeah.
Speaking of Oski, Aberdeen 4, Kilmarnock 1.
Yep, so good win for Aberdeen. I know a lot of people who were at the game certainly enjoyed that one. So with Bazawin with the opener, somebody I've talked about in the past. They then extended their record at the top of the penalties given table. It was never a pen. The players just fell over the keeper. Don't think the keeper can be held accountable for that. That being said, it was good to see Majowski back in the goals. He stuck it away well. We then had Ash Taylor cutting the deficit. He's now Kilmarnock's top scorer. And I mentioned at the time, he was somebody that I was thinking of bringing in for the double game week, but that's just the way it goes. Majowski got the second just before half time. That's his 7th for the season. So well done if you've stuck loyal to him. He's certainly a good find this season. Stuart made it 4-1. To polish off a good all-round performance for Aberdeen. They've got Dundee United and Hearts next, and they'll have Scales back, which will help. And Majowski, I think he's a must-own in my eyes. I think he has got quiet game spells in him, but you know, popping up with a brace certainly helps, and he's on penalties. Kilmarnock have got St Johnstone Hearts. They're going to need to improve if they want to stay up. I mean, Dundee United are probably worse at the moment. You know, they can put as much distance between them as possible, it would help, but there's absolutely no value in that team at the moment. So good win for Aberdeen. Kilmarnock still poor, stay away from them.
Yep. Kilmarnock gave McInnes a new contract. Did I dream this up? Did he get his contract for the week?
Pass, not seen it.
He did, so that's a bit of a weird decision, but then fair enough. Aberdeen, they fall to me in like the Hibs bracket. They had a big brand new squad build as well, so they do look better as the week's going. So it's one ground. I think we've all on the treble up right now as it stands.
Yeah.
Majowski, I believe, came out and said this week that he'd like to try to challenge the Rangers strikers to be top goal scorer. He was also hungry to prove a point, which is good, because I think we all own him. So to me, he's a set and forget right now. He's a main man. Mm-hmm. Aberdeen are playing all right. You don't need to worry about him. We all got him at a really cheap price. I believe it was 5 million at the start. So we all got on him then. So we're good value on him. So unless he gets injured, I don't see any point in taking him out of the team. If fixture swing goes wrong, you can always just bench him and use him the bench trick. But I think you just take the hit with Bielski. He was going to score maybe, as you said before, one every three games, make it a brace every so often. So I think it's well worth that. Right, we've still got two games in the game week to go. We mentioned so Ross County and Millwall tonight and Kilmarnock and Johnson tomorrow night. Now, I couldn't remember who you said. How many players you still in play?
I have got two, Motherwell and Ross County, both defenders. So whilst 0-0 would probably suit me, I believe, for the Cup, I think I do need Ross County to concede. So I'd probably take that ahead of getting 6 points from each player. So I don't know how that one will pan out. And Motherwell might edge it. I don't imagine it'll be the best of games with the weather conditions at the moment. Mm-hmm. The other fixtures, Kilmarnock and Johnson, again, that doesn't scream like there'll be a lot of goals in that game. If there is, it's probably going to be from St Johnston. Again, what? I wouldn't be leaving the house to go and watch that one.
I've actually got another player on the bench. It's because he doesn't get Mayo. I forgot he's in my squad.
Oh, yeah.
So if Kamala got a clean sheet, he'd probably jump up above the two on the bench. So like yourself, I've got Lacivetti to play. So he plays, and it's 2 points. And then I've got at least 10 points off the bench. Yeah. Something happens. If Kenna for Hibs is 5 points, he kind of come on now. So that's his max. Spittle does end the night, then he'll come on. And if Kamala gets a clean sheet tomorrow night, he'll come on. So like I said, it's not the worst game week. I should have maybe, vice-captain should have been different, but if it gets a clean sheet tonight, then it's worth the risk. Right, we'll move on to Donny's dive or delve, whatever it is.
Differential. So the idea, as always, is to pick a player who is either low on ownership, in form, or possibly overlooked. So recommendation. I'm not sure this one's entirely a surprise, but if you just wait, then I'll explain why we should all be on this player. So it's another one for the double game week, and he is 4.8% owned. That makes him the 64th top-owned player beside Callum McGregor and Joe Newbley. So it's not that hugely popular when you look at those two players beside him. He's played 7 out of 8 games this season with an average of 81 minutes and currently sits on 41 points. He's had 4 goals, no assists and 2 clean sheets and has an average points per game of 5.9 and 8 bonus points. So this week's differential, probably no shock, is the best number 77 in the league, Martin Boyle of Hibs. So as I say, it's not a surprising one, but at 4.1% owned, there's obviously quite a lot of teams out there who have held off on him. So now is your time. So if you look at double up, I think he offers best value. They play Motherwell and Dundee United, and coming off the back of a good 2-0 win in which he scored, I think you will see returns for him. He's 5.5 million, having risen steadily since he came back to Scottish football. And to me, I can only see that continuing. He's the kind of player that you can just put in now and leave him. Hibs are patchy, but Boyle's a talisman. Everything goes through him. And when they play well, he plays well. He's a fantasy favourite. He's also on penalties, so you know what you get. As I say, I don't see it as a punt. I think you can just put him in there and leave him, and you'll get your returns. And as I was saying to Peter just before the record, he's effectively the Lewis Ferguson of this season. Doesn't really matter how the team play, he's going to clutch up for you. So me and Peter have both got him. Tom, I know, was holding off. So Tom, if you're listening, doing the midnight feed, you need to get on Boyle. And, you know, with a double game week, you can captain or vice captain, and you could probably still get good returns out of him. He is that good player. He is at the premium end of the scale for midfielders, so you might have to make 2 transfers to get to him. But I always feel when there's a double game week on, if he plays twice, that's your 4 points made back up, plus then whatever else he does during the game, and you've got him in your team. So the differential this week, probably not a surprise, it's Hibs midfielder Martin Boyle, currently 5.5 million.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yep, good shout. We're both on them. I'm be slightly quicker than you. No, I'll give you everything we said. Like that, he's fixture proof. You can throw him in any game. I mean, yeah. He's got Celtic in between these fixtures, but he can easily score at Parkhead. He can easily score at Ibrox. He does it all the time. There's no issue having him on your team. If you're thinking about whether to play him or not, just play him because he turns up. And even that, he always seems to get passing points. As you said, everything goes through him. So the ball's always getting passed and he's passing balls away. So he normally gets that extra point every week as well. He's good. You bring him in and then, like Donny said, you just set and forget for the rest of the season. Get him in there because he is going to rise weekly because people are going to start coming around and go, right, he is playing good and that's it. So that was Donny's dive. That was Martin Boyle. Please don't buy him, guys. Please don't buy him. Right, so we'll move on to next week's fixtures, which is also a double game week. So we've got an early kickoff. So you'll only see the team news of St Johnstone Celtic on Saturday. You won't see anything else. So we'll get, as we said, St Johnstone at home. Rangers versus St Mirren. Livingston, Ross County. Hibs, Motherwell. Dundee, Aberdeen. Kilmarnock, Hearts. And then the double game week fixture. Dundee Hibs. So upon hearing those fixtures, Donny, what is your current captain, vice captain, and transfer plans?
Yeah, so Celtic's the one to target with the team news there. Although Rangers at home at St Mirren is the other fixture to target. For me, transfer wise, I'll probably get rid of Saul Holm and take in Porteous. It seems like a straightforward change. And obviously double game week there. I've already got Boyle, so I've got that one covered. The change that I did make, the St Johnstone player, I need to get rid of him. It would mean my first -4 of the season. However, I can make that up with the double game week. So I'll have a look around. I can't really take in another Hibs player because I've got Henderson stinking up my bench. So I might just have to go for another United midfielder. You know, somebody like Levitt or McGrath. I'll have a look around, see what price is there, and hopefully they can do something. So that's my thinking there. Captaincy will probably stay with Tav, unless anything changes between now and the weekend. But vice-captaincy will go to Boyle. As I say, I think you get value out of him across those two games. He's almost certain to do something, so I think you can get returns there. So wouldn't blame you if you do a Celtic captain, but for me, Captain Tav, I think it's a good fixture. And as long as he's fit, I think you'll get returns there.
Okay. I will not be captain a Celtic player or vice captain because Europe sandwich been seen. So I'll leave the team news, but I think I could be a slight drop down quality and fatigue after it, so I'm not interested in that. Captain Tav, because you're home with St Mirren, I think it's a no-brainer. Right now, some vice-captain Boyle. same as yourself. I just think, as you said, he offers more chances in two games. And I think Colak could still score against St Mirren, but I still fancy my chances that Boyle could match them over the two fixtures, and then you get extra points for the games he's playing. My transfer thoughts, I've got two. So it was either come off the Aberdeen double up at the back and get rid of Ruse and bring in the Dundee goalkeeper. So you double up goalkeeper, save points, and then that's him going forward. And then praying on a wing and a prayer that they start to turn their form, but he's a cheap goalkeeper and he played double game week. Or
big ask.
And more likely would be, as you mentioned, get rid of Mayo from Kilmarnock and bring in Portis. Because I can do the hip triple up. I've got Kenna and Boyle, and that would give me Portis in the back line. And again, you look at it and use a bit of common sense. Dundee's got Aberdeen at home, Dundee and Hibs at home. Hibs have got Murrayfield at home and Dundee away. Who's more likely to keep a clean sheet of the two games? And I think it's Hibs. So the best move will be Portis.
Yep, that's the way I'm going to go.
I'll think about it and I'll wait up and look at the fixtures going down the line. I mean, the game week 10 after Hibs at Celtic, I could bench Portis. Dundee's at Ross County, so is that a better game for the goalkeeper? Leading further on that, Dundee's away to St Mirren and Hibs at home at St Johnstone. So I think it's going to be Portis. Hibs look on the upward trajectory and Dundee don't, so I'll just stick with the Aberdeen double up now, as much as that pains me to stick with that one. Right, so just to let people know, the Regan Charles Cup isn't finished yet. Obviously, I'm talking to eight people here. There's only people left. It finishes on Wednesday night. I'll get the scores. I'll put the semi-final final up. Pretty soon, I will be advertising the second cup, which probably will start with after World Cup, I believe it worked out to be. And that'll be the one that went down well last year, the FFS Royalty Rumble. Everything like that, because there's no straight knockout. It's a group stage. You accumulate points at the bottom, so many teams get knocked out of the group. You keep on going on Royal Rumble and the rest, WWE Wrestling. That's what it's hanging on. Again, I'll wait and see many people get for the update to it. That'll decide on the groups. But people liked it last year. I believe the champion is Melvinho, the one he wanted it.
Melvin won.
So he belonged to defend his title. And what else have we got? We've got one question on Twitter. It's from Brian Blaze Attack. So his question was, is Colak becoming more a captain option than Tav? I'm going to quickly get in here first while you talk, Donny. I think no, because Tav offers more clean sheet, attacking points. He's no risk at all for Morelos. There's nobody in his position. So he has a clean sheet and attacking risk, and he's a bonus point magnet. So I think it's just stick with Tav over Colak. There will be game weeks where you're probably the right call to go for it. But again, vice captain Colak, he gets double points for the goals anyway. He doesn't get much assists. You only double up the points would be for the appearance points and then the bonus points it gets. So to me, it's an easy stick with Tav. Agree?
Yep, pretty much stole what I was going to say.
That's where I jumped in first.
Because he doesn't really get assists, you can just vice captain him. You'll get rewarded with the goals. There's going to be a risk at some point where Morelos will start and he could come off the bench as an impact player. Also, if we don't score, he's going to be the first one to get subbed out. You've got Morelos and Roof, who's hiding in the shadows, ready to come back. So for me, it's a no. If you look at Tavernier, he's still going to get the clean sheet points. He had an assist at the weekend and a bonus point. So for me, and that's returns in itself. We've only had one penalty this season. So the minute we get the next one, then it makes Tav captaincy all the more important. You're not going to get a rotation with Tav unless he's injured. You could do it, as you say. You've probably, the weeks that Colak's got the doubles, you would have come out good. But every other week, you're probably going to be better off with Tav. So always captain Tav. You should never second guess. And that remains to be the case. So, vice Colak, hopefully keeps in amongst the goals, but stick with Tav as captain.
I mean, there's no high risk reward if they flipped him and went captain Colak, vice captain. You would, Tav, but you would lose his bonus points and the attacking points. So to me, it's no worth it. You'll be gambling on what you think can happen one week that might not happen. So stick with tried and tested until the XG shows otherwise. Right, okay. So we're now, because it's me and Don this week, we're going to put a wee bit of fantasy chat and from the FPL and the Champions League chat in, because it's also a shorter podcast. So bear with us. We'll start first with a leak. So the top three is Conkin Lines, Robbie Dempsey, number three. Number two, Emmerick Gomeath, Michael Scott. And number one is FTOF FC, Fraser McLaughlin. That's the top three. So we had good game weeks this week, Donny.
Yeah.
You were on a wild card, so I'll let you I think you did lower scores. Let you go first. What top was your score?
So my game week score was 88. I had Pope and goals for 2, James for 2, Trippier 7, Cancelo 1, Perisic 1, Zaha 2. Then we had Madison with 18, De Bruyne with 8, Captain Haaland for 46, Tony 1, Mitrovic 0. So that was my 88. Overall, I am on 554, which gives me a green arrow to 81k. So pleased with that.
Happy with Wildcard?
I am. I wasn't on Saturday when Kane and Jesus both scored. I was thinking, oh, here we go. And then I only had about 20 points. And then, of course, Haaland clutches, De Bruyne clutches, and then Madison last night. So you've always need to be patient and see how the game week pans out. The only thing I don't like about the FPL is because the games are so drawn out over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to wait until Monday before you can actually see where you are, whereas with Scottish football, it tends to be all over by Sunday lunchtime. But that's just how I feel.
Right, so this week I had 94 points, not far off a ton. So I had some style team. You had Pope and goals for 2. Trippier was 7. I think we're lucky there. Do you know, get subbed off before they send the goal. So that was good. Cancelo 1. Trent 0 points. Madison, my transfer, in 18 points. Martinelli 4. Harrison 3. Diaz 4. Jesus 8. 21. Obviously, Captain Haaland 46. Only thing I missed on the bench was Ward. He's 8 point return. Would have maybe took me over that promised land threshold, but there was no way I was playing him in that game.
No, you can't.
Gives me 547 overall and a rise to 137k. So I'm happy with that. So what is your transfers for next week? I'm not going to ask captain, I think. Captain's this could be Haaland, I take it. What is your transfer plans for next week?
Well, I've got Mitrovic, who's causing a stink up front. So I'm going to get rid of him. I'm going to go off plan on this one. Because I know a lot of chat will be to go to recognise players. I'm going to go with Edward at Palace. I've already got Zaha on my team. So fixture-wise, they'll pay up quite nicely. It's a differential because I can't imagine a lot of folk are on him. So that might be my change going into next week. Tony, I just need to be patient with. Glad I got in Madison. Glad I got in De Bruyne. Managed to hold Cancelo and I got in James. So I'm happy the way the wildcard panned out. I've got a decent bench if I need to change, but Mitrovic being injured, I think Edward, fixture-wise, might come up good for me. So, putting my faith in a former Celtic striker, I know it's maybe not the best thing to do, but that's what I might do come the weekend.
5.3 million striker, that's bold. That's bold.
He scored at the weekend.
Yeah, I see that. It was good. He took it well. He played well. I mean, his fixtures are terrific. Just to read it out to people, listen: Leeds at home, Leicester away, Wolves at home, Everton away, Zander at home, West Ham away, Nottingham Forest away up to the World Cup. Slight rotation risk. He doesn't seem like he can hold in a position all the time. But then that's what you pay for when it's 5.3 million, I suppose, isn't it?
Exactly. As I say, I've got Zaha in there as well, so I think those two work well together. So I'd be happy with it. I wouldn't be unhappy with it. It's hard to find a good third striker.
Are you going to put him in and hold him to the World Cup, to the break, and just go for it because of fixtures?
Edward?
Mm-hmm.
I'll just wait and see. He's the kind of player, you just week by week, you'll judge how he is. You can bench him if he's getting rotated. And not having anybody's there, but I'll certainly see how it pans out. It could be genius, or it just could be absolutely.
I'm looking forward to that one. So my plan is now Harrison. Excuse my dog battling at a busking bite. Harrison moving to Zaha. That's my fixture. That was always a plan. I still need to get a couple of these City and Arsenal players for the blank, but they can wait another week. It's only game week, 10? So there's 3 more transfers for that, so that's fine. My other thought was Cancelo, but then they're playing Southampton, is it this week? Yep, so no, that could be a week later. And then I did want to go to Aguirre from Crystal Palace as well at one point,
yeah,
with the fixture on as well, so that could be another week down the line. But my plan as it stands around, one of the injuries and stuff like that is Harrison to Zaha, and then just run with that. Again, I've said before, that's 1 week closer to the split, or 1 week closer before I don't use a wild card. So
yeah,
it looks like I might be getting to my game week 16 using a wild card as a free hit, plan, because I'm rising through the ranks every so often, so I'm going higher, so it's working so far, so we'll see how it pans out.
I think the wild card gives you the option, obviously, to strengthen your team, but it probably gives you an option to better your bench, which is what I've done. I've got Dullo in there from Man United. I forget who the other two are now, but I've got a decent bench, whereas when you start the season, you tend to have the bare minimum on your bench. So that's one thing that wildcard does do. You've probably got value in your team that you can upgrade in certain areas. So that's what I found useful. So by the time game week 12 comes along, you're probably not going to sell Haaland. You bench him.
Do I always value Haaland? No chance.
I've got De Bruyne. I'll probably just bench him and Cancelo. You know, you could manoeuver around him. But
he's the one going, because he's not going up and down price by, because he's so high price. So if you sold him, you wouldn't have lost much. You've lost him point one at a max, and then bring him back in, you feel like it.
Got a good enough bench that I probably could survive the week, but we'll see. So for me, it's not a disaster, but I think if you have wildcarded, then that's one thing I do think benefits you, is you've probably got a good couple of subs on your bench that you can rotate in.
I'm not too bad, because if Harrison becomes Zaha, my start of next week is this as it stands. So it's Pope and goals, Trippier, Cancelo, Trent and Perisic at the back, Madison, Martinelli, Diaz, Jesus, Tony and Haaland. So obviously Zaha would come into that team instead of, I'm probably guessing maybe this week would be Diaz because they're away to Arsenal.
Yeah.
It depends who I'd get to go down on that week. I don't know, maybe Trent. I don't make it bench because Martinelli at left hand side against Trent and Arsenal, Liverpool look really poor on the right hand side. I'll see how they play the night first. They've got a big game tonight.
Once Kent gets a hold of them, they'll be tear them apart subbed again. Off at half time.
Tear them apart again, yeah. right, that's FPL finished then. So you want to go on a wee bit of chat about UEFA Champions League, because tonight is the kickoff of game week 3. Yep. You're on a wild card, so I'm going to quickly go for my team first before we get to you. So let me see. I hate when you need to change it. So fixtures by D. Fixtures. So I've got Haaland, Mbappe and Neymar up top. I've got Kudos, Sané and how do you say this guy's name? Napoli? Zverchelia? The midfield doesn't happen. Then a back four, kind of cheapy spot for Perisic and Diego Costa and goals. So we get LA team using out of three games. So we'll get Bayern Munich, Pelizin, all two games, Marseille and Sporting. So my plan was to bring in another Bayern Munich player. Captain Sané.
Sané could be your risk.
That's what I'm saying. So we're going to get LA team news. So if the team news comes in and Sané's not playing, I'll not rule a transfer. I'll use one. I'll probably bring down Perisic. Down to a cheaper defender, maybe the cheapest one I can get from Bayern who's playing tonight, and that would save me 0.9, and then see who I can get in midfield for Bayern. Ideally, I'd like to have got Salah in for the game tonight. I know this is on a bit of Rangers, but it's not. I think it could go well tonight, but I can't get to him. If the team news came out, I could potentially take a hit to bring Salah in.
Yeah.
I don't know why I really do. I'd like to see the team news first and see how I can maneuver for that. We're going to get team news within the next hour of this podcast. This is also live to record, and then I'll take it for there. So you're a wild card. Do you want to talk through your wild card?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, I think this wild card in this week is most favourable because you get a lot of home and away games. So keepers, I've got Adan from Sporting Lisbon and Lukovic from Zagreb. Sporting Lisbon keepers had two clean sheets already. They're home and away to Marseille. It's a bit of a punt. He's 4.5 million. Zagreb keepers 4.6 million. And he's had 9 points from his two games. They're home and away to Salzburg. So cheaped out in the keepers to spend money elsewhere. So in defence, I've got Carval, Madrid, Matip from Liverpool.
Stop me for a quick second here, keepers. Do they play in different days?
Yeah, they do.
Ah, good three. That's,
I should have wrote that down, but yeah, they do. No, I've got a good split there. So moving on to defence, I've got Carval from Madrid, 5.5 million. Matip, Liverpool, 5 million. Bayern defender, Upamecano, 5 million. He played at the weekend and he's had 10 points so far. So he seems like he will start that game. I've gone for Akanji to get a bit of the Man City defence. And I've also got Marquinhos at PSG. Just to get a cheap route into their defence. So again, I've got some well-covered areas in there. Midfield, I've gone Valverde at Madrid, 6.5 million. De Bruyne, 10.5 million. Kudus at Ajax, he's 5.2 million. He seems a bargain points-wise. Mo Salah, Mo Salah. I think he was the first one on the list. betting against my own team here, but unfortunately it seems like a no-brainer there. So we'll see how that goes. And I've got Rio Hatate, who, you know, I'd ran out of money. So I just
you're at it.
Took a punt on him. Leipzig, we beat them. We beat them last year in the semi-final. They are good, but I think Celtic can get points off of them.
Well, Hatate's an informed player, I suppose. He likes a shot in range,
So we'll see how it goes. Up front, I've kept a hold of the Bruges forward, Jutgla. He's clutched, but I don't expect much. They're home and away to Atletico. I've got Haaland. Again, he's on form. Copenhagen, home and away. And at the moment, I've got Messi. But I could be convinced to change that. They've got Benfica home and away. I think any PSG forward, you're going to probably get a good return on. So I had Mbappe in the past and I've just got Messi. Just give me some extra funds there. So I've got a good balance. I've got a piece of most teams that have favourable teams. So fingers crossed that carries me over the next couple of game weeks.
Looks good. No, happy with that. That's a decent enough team. That gives you the 3-4, and then do you plan on limitless 5, or?
I think so. Again, I'm not particularly used to playing this style in the Champions League format. So yeah, I'll see how it looks. I don't need to make a lot of changes unless it's injury. As I say, the fixtures is the same fixtures, just home and away. So that team should be set up for the next 2 weeks. There's not a lot of teams go through after 5 games or 4 games, I should say. So game week 5 should still be quite.
That's what I was thinking. Teams can maybe finish
quite live. It's game week 6, so effectively this team would have to do me for game week 6 if I do go limitless. I'm not against it. I'll see what it's like when I get there.
You could wait 10 to play game week 4 and then look at the leagues and go, right, these teams are through. These teams need to win their last game. I mean, they need to win these 2 games. Then you can make a call. And, for example, say Spurs are struggling and they have to win the 5 and 6. Then you can go, right, well, I'll hold to 6 and I'll go limitless on. You can get Kane, Son and whoever else in that week. Other teams in that position, depending on who really has to go for it in the last game. But again, you won't really know that until after game week 4.
I suppose it's a chip that you need to get rid of in the group stages, because if you used it in the knockout stages, you're gonna half your team's gonna be knocked out. So I suppose
you can still use it, but I'm reading about what people have talked about, it feels it's a waste because you get extra chances at this point.
Yeah,
and you've already gone. You have a wild card into game week 16 anyway.
Yeah,
you've set a team up. We're all going to roughly have, I'm assuming we'll have 2 players from the teams we expect to get the easiest. Real Madrid or a PSG.
Yeah,
they're in. So then what you're limitlessing for, because you've already got half a team built and then you're getting the 4 transfers per round, so it's quite easy for you to manoeuvre.
I'll see where I am. I've had 2 good weeks up till now. I feel that this team can carry me through the next 2 weeks. So I'll just see where we're at and take it from there.
Right, so we'll watch the Bayern game first and then Inter Barcelona, 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'm not the Rangers player. I'll try to get you a bite there, mate.
Nah, well, I won't be watching it. I don't have BT Sports, so I just tend to go quiet on these game weeks because, well, let's be honest, they don't turn out too good. So I'll have to distract myself.
A wee antidote with my cousin Swanee, who started this podcast me many years back, and he's got what's the thing we believe in bad luck? What's that called? I went totally blank.
Superstition.
Yeah, superstition that. Years ago, whenever he got a takeaway, Rangers played midweek, he's get beat. So he stopped getting a takeaway and he stopped getting beat. And he rhymed off all the results, by the way, in any game. It's like I had a pizza for played Aberdeen in the Cup, get beat. I played somebody in a Cup, we get beat. I played somebody in the League, we get beat. So I stopped getting a takeaway and it stopped happening. So he's believed that he's stopped that curse. But he said tonight he's got up to Asda to get 3 Asda pizzas for him and his dad. I mean, if I don't get this takeaway stuff, and he's like, I'll pull Liverpool because it's just, it is what it is. I'm getting my takeaway. I was like, right, so.
Exactly.
He thinks this is good, but it's going to be.
I think Celtic have got a chance. As I say, Rangers knocked him out last year. The boy in Nkunku up front is really good. He caused us a lot of trouble, but it's the games home and away. If you can get 4 points out of that, then you'll qualify, because I don't think Shakhtar are up to much, and they've got Madrid, so this is the double header that could almost see you over the line, as far as that's concerned. So I know it's not till tomorrow, but They've still got a chance. Rangers, they've got a chance. It's between slim and none. But we'll see how it goes.
Slim just left town. No, if I see James and Welsh in that team sheet tomorrow, then we've not got a chance. Because I think as much as we can play attacking football as we like and controlling football, if they break against that defence, one and two chances will score. So we'll struggle if that's a bit centre-back there tomorrow. And if they force one or two back, it's completely not fit. Then you're basically risking the same thing because it's guys back who are not fit and try to play a high tempo in 80 minutes. I don't think it'll end well, but I can only hope. Right, that is us finished then, Donny. You can get a plug in before we head off.
Yep, so I am at FFS underscore Donny.
Yep, Tom is at FFS Scout. He's not here this week, but we'll be back next week. I'm at Fantasy Half. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of this game week, and we'll be back next week to discuss the end of this double game week and the start of the next double game week. And hope we'll get green arrows. Right.
Indeed.
Goodbye.
Bye now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.